Warrant, The Current Debate, Alban Plantinga, Oxford University Press, 1993, 240 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. About the author. Alban Plantinga is one of the most influential philosophers of the past half century. He is John A. O'Brien Professor of Philosophy at Notre Dame. His work has focused on the knowledge and existence of God, as well as the broad field of epistemology, the theory of knowledge. His most important work is arguably his trilogy on Warrant, which altogether argue for the rationality, or warrant, of Christian belief. Introduction. Warrant, The Current Debate, summarizes 20th century epistemologies and their understanding of epistemic justification and or warrant. He critiques each view, including internalism, classic internalism, coherentism, foundationalism, and externalism, reliabilism. Most defeater examples involve an example whereby someone's cognitive faculties or their cognitive environment dysfunctions, but their belief is still justified or warranted by these other epistemologies. Page 212. A belief cannot be warranted if it is formed by dysfunctional cognitive faculties. This paves the way for him to expound his proper functionalism in Warrant and Proper Function. Table of Contents. Chapter 1. Justification, Internalism, and Deontology. Chapter 2. Classical Chisholmian Internalism. Chapter 3. Post-classical Chisholmian Internalism. Chapter 4. Coherentism. Chapter 5. Bonjourian Coherentism. Chapter 6. Bayesian Coherentism and Warrant. Chapter 7. Bayesian Coherentism and Rationality. Chapter 8. Pollokian Quasi-Internalism. Chapter 9. Reliabilism. Chapter 10. Prospect and Retrospect. Summary. Chapter 1. Justification, Internalism, and Deontology. The first chapter draws a direct line between internalism and deontological justification, a tradition stemming from Descartes and Locke, 11 through 15. Internalism is that what determines whether a belief is warranted for a person are factors or states in some sense internal to that person. Warrant-conferring properties are in some way internal to the subject or cognizer. 5. Plantinga provides three internalist motifs drawn from the history of internalism, 19 through 29. First, epistemic justification is entirely up to the cognizer. It is one's subjective duty to determine what is right, which avoids blame. Second, one's objective and subjective duty coincide. What one ought to do, objective duty, is the same as what one must do to avoid blame, subjective duty. Third, the cognizer has guaranteed access to whether a belief is justified and to what makes it justified. He concludes, justification, internalism, and epistemic deontology are properly seen as a closely related triumvirate. Internalism flows from deontology and is unmotivated without it, and justification is at bottom and originally a deontological notion. 29. Chapter 2. Classical Chisholmian Internalism. Chapter 2 discusses classical Chisholmian internalism, Roderick Chisholm. Plantinga's contention is that, given Chisholm's definition of warrant as the matter of fulfilling epistemic obligation, his epistemic principles are internally inconsistent. He only examines propositions 1 and 5 of Chisholm here, although he has criticized 2 through 5 elsewhere. P1 states that if a property of being F is self-presenting, then for every X, if X has the property of being F, and if X considers his having that property, then it is certain for X that he is then F. Plantinga shows that if something is self-presenting, then there is no opportunity to reject alternatives, and therefore fulfillment of duty. The belief is necessarily accepted, 36 through 40. P5A is lengthy to repeat, page 40. But Plantinga's critique is that if one's epistemic faculties are not functioning properly, then it does not fulfill one's epistemic duties to believe whatever is epistemically in the clear for oneself, 41 through 43. He concludes that warrant and justification are not the same, and that no degree of dutifulness, no amount of living up to one's obligations and satisfying one's responsibilities, in a word, no degree of justification, can be sufficient for warrant, 43. Justification is a fine thing, a valuable state of affairs, intrinsically as well as extrinsically, but it is neither necessary nor sufficient for warrant. 45. Chapter 3, Postclassical Chisholmian Internalism. Chapter 3 critiques postclassical Chisholmian internalism. The later Chisholm moved from making Warrant a deontological notion to an axiological notion. What confers Warrant is the right relationship between evidence base and belief, a relationship such that when they stand in it, then the resulting whole displays a certain intrinsic value, 51. He makes four criticisms of this view, 51 through 65. First, it tells us little about what Warrant or positive epistemic status is, only about the aptness or intrinsic value of a set of circumstances between evidence and belief. Second, with Warrant detached from deontology, there remains little motivation for internalism. No duty remains. Third, it is not the case that for a given belief, B, there is a set, S, of evidence bases such as that necessarily B has warrant for me and if only it occurs in connection with a member of that set, S, 51 and 52. There may be external conditions in which one has the psychological properties that exist within set S and thus believes B, but which results in little warrant. For example, a brain lesion causes psychological properties to exist that bring about an accidentally true belief. Fourth, this Chisholmian view takes the basic component of warrant to be evidence. Plantinga's example of learning to identify a set of psychological properties with a proper belief show that evidence is not all that is involved in warrant, but other factors as well, such as cognitive function and learning to form true beliefs in different environments. Chapter 4, Coherentism. Chapter 4 examines coherentism, which he first contrasts with Cartesian and Lockean foundationalism. He describes foundationalism as a connected group of seven normative theses about proper noetic structures, 72 through 77. 1. There are basic beliefs. 2. No proposition provides evidential support for itself. 3. No proposition provides evidential basis for itself. 4. The supports relation is not asymmetrical. But 5. The basis relation is asymmetrical. Propositions may support one another mutually, but one cannot base A on B and also take the basis of B to be A. 6. The basis relation is non-circular. Warrant in foundationalism is acquired either by being basic, and therefore just being accepted in the right circumstances, or by warrant transfer, which happens when a proposition is believed on the basis of a warranted proposition, 75. This leads to the seventh thesis. Warrant does not increase solely by virtue of warrant transfer. He then explains why foundationalism rejects circular reasoning. In a simple chain of direct warrant transfers, where each proposition gets its warrant from its basis proposition, and the last proposition completes the chain by providing warrant for the first proposition, there is a warrant defect. Since warrant is transferred from A direct to B, and then to C, etc., and from the last proposition directly to A, it happens that A provides warrant for itself, which is impossible, since no proposition is self-warranting. Thus, in circular reasoning, there is no warrant. Plantinga then discusses coherentism, first objecting to the popular idea that they revel in circular reasoning, provided the circle is large enough. Rather than characterizing it as a circular reasoning, he suggests coherentism believes a belief is properly basic, and thus warranted, if it appropriately coheres with the rest of the cognizer's noetic structure, 78. There is no warrant transfer, but all propositions that enjoy warrant in a noetic structure are basic in that structure. This warrant could then perhaps be afterward transferred to other beliefs, 79. Under this characterization, Plantinga argues coherentism is a very special case of foundationalism, such that there are basic beliefs whose only source of warrant is coherence. He suggests, however, that it is mistaken, and that coherence is neither necessary nor sufficient for warrant, 81. One may have a brain malfunction that creates a coherent reality, but a false reality, which therefore has no warrant. To show that coherence is not necessary, he considers a student who accepts vigorous but incorrect arguments that no one may be appealed to readily, and who the next day correctly perceives a red bus barreling toward him. His belief would have warrant, but would be incoherent with his noetic structure, 83. Yet Plantinga notes that coherence can be a source for warrant, just not the sole source, 83. He then takes a parting shot at classical foundationalism, which, as Reed argued, yields the consequence that very little is epistemically acceptable for us, far less than we would think, 85. He also notes that the proposition that A is acceptable for me, it is properly basic or believed on the evidential basis of propositions that are 1. Properly basic, and 2. Support A, is not properly basic itself, and thus its source of warrant is suspect. 85. Chapter 5. Bonjourian Coherentism. Chapter 5 critiques Bonjourian Coherentism. In this view, a belief is justified if one is responsible in forming it, which only occurs if one has a good reason for believing it, and the only good reason for believing it is that it is an element of a coherent system of beliefs. 90. He gives Bonjour's 5 principles governing coherence on page 90. But for justification, there are other requirements, including that the belief is a member of a person's coherent system of beliefs, that the system of beliefs must meet the observation requirement, beliefs are acquired directly and immediately, and bylaws according to which those beliefs are mostly true, and that the system of beliefs is stable in the long run. 92. The system should also be more stable and coherent than any other system that also satisfies the observation requirement. 90. Bonjour also believes the coherentist justification must be accessible to the believer himself. The justification for believing that the longer-term stable system of beliefs likely corresponds to reality is the a priori supposition that this is true, which is a traditional, foundationalist account of a priori knowledge. 96 and 97. Plantinga levels several criticisms, 106 through 109. First, Bonjour's theory only says that every member of the set is probably true, not that every member is true. Second, Bonjour's theory says the long-run coherent system is more likely to correspond to reality than the skeptical hypothesis with respect to S, but that does not mean it is more likely than not, only that it is more likely than the skeptical hypothesis. Third, one must acquire warrant for the belief that one's system of knowledge has been stable in the long run. This knowledge is a posteriori and cannot gain warrant through coherence, as with empirical beliefs. 107. So, 1. B is a member of my system of beliefs, S, and 2. S has been coherent over a sufficient time. But then, of course, 2 must be justified for me, and justified for me before B is. In the case in question, however, B is 2, hence in the case in question, 2 must be justified for me before it is justified for me. It is hard to see a way out. 107. Fourth is the doxastic presumption, that one presumes without justification one's meta-beliefs, one's beliefs about what one believes. There is no justification under coherentism for believing that one believes system S, and thus no way to justify the first premise of his system, that one holds to a long-term coherent system S. Lastly, Bonjour's supposition that it is a priori true that a long-term coherent system of belief is more likely to correspond to reality than not is unknowable. 109. There is a probability that the proposition S is more likely to correspond to the truth corresponds to the truth, and that it perhaps has greater probability than S is not likely to correspond to the truth. But the probability of these two propositions are unknowable. Plantinga makes some last critiques of Bonjour's view of warrant, 109-113. First, his theory does not have degrees of warrant. Second, coherence is neither sufficient nor necessary for warrant, which he also explained in the previous chapter. Chapter 6, Bayesian Coherentism and Warrant. Chapter 6 examines a Bayesian coherentism account of warrant. Although the theory is not really created for the purpose of warrant, the theory speaks more of rationality. Bayesians are concerned with the normative probabilities, not factual or statistical, by act as conditions for a rational or reasonable set of partial beliefs. 117. It relies on the idea of degrees of belief, but it is not clear that such degrees exist. 118. The point of rationality is to avoid a Dutch book situation, which would be irrational. But Plantinga shows that none of the proposed conditions seem necessary for warrant, particularly in the case of cognitive malfunction. Moreover, it does not account for how beliefs should change in response to experience rather than to probability, 128 and 129. The theory also lacks the ability to account for evidential supportive beliefs, 129. Chapter 7 then examines Bayesian rationality in a lengthy chapter, which for purposes here is far too technical to summarize, but still finds this unhelpful for warrant. Chapter 8, Pollockian Quasi-Internalism. Chapter 8 critiques Pollockian quasi-internalism. John Pollock creates an internalist epistemology that holds that the essence of a concept is to have the conceptual role that it has, 166. What makes one justified is that one believes in accord with epistemological norms. This precludes true belief and is called subjective justification. Objective justification is very close to knowledge and requires a qualification about socially expected knowledge to acquire warrant, 168 and 169. Plantingle levels two criticisms, 169 through 176. First, he does not make provision for degrees of justification. Second, he suggests someone could argue with mistaken or incorrect norms. He demonstrates this by suggesting two persons, one of whose phenomenology has been altered so that he knows south instinctively like a bird, the other who knows south because of his empirical knowledge. They both are justified in their knowledge, but acquired the same concept through different norms, something that Pollock's theory does not allow. Plantinga does suggest that Pollock's theory is suggestive since he speaks of epistemic norms as similar to the internal processing machine of a computer. Hence, if it malfunctioned, it is justified, but not warranted in its beliefs, 179. Chapter 9, Reliabilism. Chapter 9 then looks at reliabilism as the only external theory of the book, including the work of William Alston, Fred Gretzky, and Alvin Goldman. Alston believes justification comes by believing on the basis of a reliable indicator, but the person must have access to this indicator. This justification is not sufficient for warrant, since cognitive malfunction could give one access to a reliable indicator, but one would not be functioning properly and would only be accidentally justified, 191 and 192. Gretzky is a second kind of reliabilist who argues warrant is a matter of probability. Plantinga shows that one can meet Gretzky's conditions for knowledge under a cognitive malfunction, 195. Goldman believes justification is a function of the reliability of the processes that cause the belief. The problem with this theory is that by relating reliability to a process, this means there is no room for degrees of warrant. All beliefs through the mechanism would acquire the same degree of warrant, 198 and 199. He then analyzes the new Goldman, who takes warrant to be justification, which is conformity to a right set of J rules, plus local reliability. But this again fails in light of cognitive malfunction, 205. One major problem with reliabilism is that accidentally reliable beliefs are not warranted. Chapter 10, Prospect and Retrospect. Chapter 10 concludes the work. He notes that most of his defeaters of other epistemologies involve examples of cognitive dysfunction, which paves the way for his understanding of warrant. He lays out his four requirements for warrant. 1. Cognitive faculties are adapted, by God or evolution, to our surroundings, and 2. They function properly to produce a belief. 3. Our cognitive functions that produce the belief are aimed at truth. 4. The design plan of the faculties must be a good plan, i.e., the faculties are created to be reliable, so it was not a lazy demon or angel who designed them. The fourth requirement is necessary because the second might be true in some individual cases, but we also need cognitive faculties that work properly most of the time, not just sometimes or accidentally. Plantinga expounds these four requirements in Warrant and Proper Function. Copyright 2015, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced, in whole or in part, without express written permission.